This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Democrats hammer the case for Trump's removal. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka, in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay on this Friday, January 24th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Democrats argue that President Trump should be convicted of an abuse of power charge, rejecting the White House's position that the Constitution requires a criminal act to remove a president from office.
Authorities in China are locking down more cities in an extraordinary bid to halt the spread of the deadly coronavirus as the death toll rises to at least 26.
Serena Williams is out at the Australian Open, her earliest exit there in 13 years.
And why airlines are holding back the best seats from frequent flyers.
They're raising the price significantly, really limiting the availability of their standard award level, what many now call the Saver award level. And in some cases, it's basically non-existent and even being phased out.
Scott McCartney of the Wall Street Journal will be along in about 20 minutes with that story. Democrats worked methodically at President Trump's impeachment trial to dismantle his longstanding allegation that Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden acted improperly toward Ukraine while vice president. On the second day of their arguments for Trump's removal from office, House managers focused on the charge that Trump abused his office by pressing Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden and his son purely for political gain. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren of California wants to see more information.
With the facts that have come to light through Freedom of Information Act lawsuits and news reporting, you may assume the documents that are being withheld would probably incriminate the president. Otherwise, why wouldn't he have provided them?
Trump defense attorney Jay Sekulow.
We've got lawyers that are going to be put forward when our side of the case goes that represents multiple schools of thought on what is and is not an impeachable offense. But they have one thing in common. That the actions alleged and the actions of the president do not reach that level.
Democrats contend senators should convict Trump on two charges brought by the Democratic-led House, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. But the Senate, which is controlled by Trump's fellow Republicans, remains unlikely to do so. A two-thirds majority is needed to remove him from office. The president's impeachment trial has revealed a common Trump theme. The lawyers he brings in to defend his behavior end up part of the probe. Darren Samuelson of Politico has taken a look at the Trump team and has more. Darren, let's talk about a few of the players. What do Michael Cohen, Don McGahn, and Rudy Giuliani all have in common?
These are all people who have represented Trump. Rudy Giuliani still represents Trump, but all three of them have gotten themselves into their own legal morass, you could say, because of their representation of Mr. Trump. Michael Cohen serving 3 years in prison, in part for lying to federal authorities over the hush money payment scheme that implicated President Trump during the 2016 campaign to silence the adult film actress who was having an affair, or at least had a relationship with the president. You have Don McGahn, the White House counsel, who served at the beginning of the Trump White House, who currently is still in the midst of a larger, longer legal fight that's happening, trying to get his testimony. The House Democrats are in the course of this impeachment fight that's going on right now on Capitol Hill over his witnessing of obstruction of justice allegations about the president with respect to Robert Mueller's probe. And obviously Rudy Giuliani is at the center of this entire impeachment investigation for his work trying to orchestrate the Ukrainian pressure campaign, just counting up in the last 2 days, plus the House brief that the Democrats filed. Rudy's name has been mentioned more than 200 times by the prosecutors as they try and make their case. So Rudy, the president's lawyer, is right there, center of the impeachment process right now.
Darren, what about the rest of the current Trump team?
Sure. By being parts of this team, knowing about what Rudy was up to, they have absolutely been brought into this as well. So Pat Cipollone, who is the White House counsel, who is the leader of the Trump defense team on the floor, is someone who was very much involved in the legal dealings with respect to the impeachment fight when this was kind of working its way through the White House as they were coming to terms with the president's request to try and get Ukrainian assistance. One of his top deputies, a guy named John Eisenberg, was the White House official who became first became aware of some of these efforts and the president's phone call. He works for Pat Cipollone, so there was clearly some decisions that had to be made with respect to removing John Eisenberg from any kind of defense with respect to what we're seeing here. Pat Cipollone and the White House Counsel's Office are the ones responsible for telling Congress, basically, no, take a hike, as they've been asking for all the documents and materials and subpoenas that they have sent over to try and talk to people. And that is Article 2 of the impeachment effort here, is that there's an obstruction of Congress that was led by Pat Cipollone. The Democrats have brought this point up now themselves in a letter to Pat Cipollone at the start of the trial, wondering whether he had ethical conflicts, to which Jay Sekulow, the other president's lawyer, responded, quote, nonsense. So you have quite a few of the lawyers, and Jay Sekulow is another one who clearly was a part and was aware of Rudy Giuliani's efforts. Lev Parnas, the indicted Giuliani associate, went on Rachel Maddow last week and said that Jay Sekulow was well aware but didn't agree with what Rudy Giuliani was doing with respect to the Ukrainian investigation. And then Sekulow went on to help Lev Parnas grab or get a new lawyer to help represent him as Congress was trying to investigate the president. And who did Jay Sekulow get to represent Lev Parnas at the beginning? John Dowd, who is also a former Donald Trump lawyer. And to get John Dowd to represent Lev Parnas, you needed President Trump's sign-off, which Jay Sekulow helped to orchestrate. So it's a tangled web of lawyers here that we're talking about. There's a lot of names there. But suffice it to say that they've all kind of found themselves in this same swirl that President Trump is in.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Samuelson of Politico. China is stepping up measures to contain a virus that has killed at least 26 people and infected more than 800, with public transport suspensions in 10 cities, temples shutting, and the rapid construction of a new hospital to treat those infected. Most cases are in the central Chinese city of Wuhan, where the virus is believed to have originated in a market that traded in illegal wildlife, with the virus passed on to humans from snakes. In the U.S., health authorities in Texas are investigating a suspected coronavirus case in a Texas A&M student. Dr. Eric Wilkie is with the Brazos County Health Authority.
If there's a confirmed case, contact tracing will begin, and all contacts will be monitored for development of symptoms.
The World Health Organization has declared the new coronavirus an emergency for China, but stopped short of declaring the epidemic an international concern. Health authorities fear the infection rate could accelerate over the Lunar New Year, when hundreds of millions of Chinese travel at home and abroad during week-long holidays, which began today.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rossa Kay. Actress Annabella Sciorra has taken the stand in the Harvey Weinstein trial. This morning's Mike Gavin has more on her dramatic testimony.
Fighting back tears, Sciorra testified in excruciating detail to a hushed Manhattan courtroom about the night she said Weinstein attacked her. After shoving his way into her apartment, she said Weinstein took her to a bedroom, forced her onto the bed, and as she sought to fight him off, sexually assaulted her. Her voice cracking with emotion, Sciorra told jurors that she was trying to get Weinstein off her by punching and kicking him. The testimony marked the first time that one of Weinstein's numerous accusers took the stand at a long-awaited criminal trial that has come to symbolize the Me Too movement. Sciorra's encounter with Weinstein happened too long ago to be charged as rape, but prosecutors are using her testimony to bolster a charge of predatory sexual assault. Jen.
Thanks, Mike. Several women are expected to testify during the trial that Weinstein attacked them. That Weinstein faces charges of rape and criminal sexual act based on the allegations of only two of them. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Rasa Kay is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Jen, China has shut down transportation in at least 10 cities, affecting some 33 million people as it races to stay ahead of the deadly coronavirus, which has left at least 26 people dead in the country and sickened hundreds more. China's also canceled all major public events in Beijing, including the massive traditional Lunar New Year celebrations. Two, day two of the Democrats' presentation of their case in the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump. Lead House impeachment manager Adam Schiff closed with an urgent appeal to senators to remove Trump from office.
And you know, you can't trust this president to do what's right for this country. You can trust he will do what's right for Donald Trump.
Number three, former Wells Fargo CEO John Stumpf must pay a $17.5 million fine, and the Treasury Department's also barred him from ever working for a bank again. Stumpf resigned as CEO of Wells Fargo in October 2016 after it was discovered bank associates opened thousands of phony accounts and manipulated some real accounts without customers' knowledge to fill quotas and earn bonuses. A suspect's in custody and two men considered armed and dangerous or at large in a shooting that left one dead and seven injured in front of a McDonald's in downtown Seattle at rush hour Wednesday evening.
The other two shooters were also known to SPD and have extensive criminal histories and gang connections.
Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan. Pope Francis has named Cleveland Bishop Nelson Perez as the new Archbishop of the Philadelphia Archdiocese. The first Hispanic to assume the role, Perez will manage more than 200 parishes and a network of universities and schools that serve more than 140,000 students. The Trump administration has issued a new rule to deny entry to pregnant foreign women who want to have babies in the U.S. so that the newborns receive automatic citizenship. Officials say since birth tourists usually apply for temporary B visas, those will no longer be given to foreign women suspected of planning to give birth here to get their baby citizenship, though the rule doesn't offer criteria for identifying them. And a Michigan man leaving the drive-through ATM at a credit union picked up a plastic box in the middle of the road so no one else would have to swerve around it and discovered it contained $27,000. George Kondash said it was labeled for the credit union, so he took it back inside, honest guy. Turns out it was an ATM cassette mistakenly left in the roadway by an armored truck security guard.
Well, good for him. I'm glad he did the right thing.
He did get a reward.
All right, good stuff. Have a lot of frequent flyer miles? Don't count on using them for first class or business seats. Scott McCartney, middle seat columnist at the Wall Street Journal, has taken a look at airlines and what they're offering and is here now with a breakdown. Scott, what are airlines doing to limit the use of miles for special seats?
So they're raising the price significantly, really limiting the availability of their standard award level, what many now call the saver award level, and in some cases it's basically non-existent and even being phased out. But there's huge variation. You could find this was a survey that looked for seats just like you and I do, doing the searches. And found really great availability at some international airlines and lousy availability at U.S. airlines, including United, where there were seats available on only 4% of the searches that were done.
Wow. What are some of the airlines that are doing well?
So number one in the survey was Turkish. They had seats available in 98% of the searches that were done. And this survey looks at each airline's 10 busiest long-haul routes. So it kind of gives the airline the best chance to shine. Alaska did very well in the survey. It's a bit different because they don't have the long-haul international routes. So that was for what you're looking for there, basically first-class seats on domestic flights. But they came in at 90% availability. Lufthansa and Singapore, both 70% or more, really good availability of seats. I talked to Singapore about it, and they just take a set percentage of their seats that they make available for their frequent flyers, and they look at it as, hey, this is what we need to do to keep their loyalty. That's certainly changed for U.S. airlines.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, middle seat columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Why are the U.S. airlines looking at this so differently?
So they do very poorly in this survey because they've created much more expensive categories that they call everyday or basically unrestricted seats. And they may cost two or three times as much in miles. And that's where they're trying to steer people. So greatly reducing the availability at the lower mileage award levels. You know, the reality is they can sell these seats. You know, Turkish may not have the large corporate base, the large number of customers who are willing to pay $7,000-$8,000 for a business class international seat, but American and Delta and United do. And so they're taking advantage of that. They have a particular problem because they have such successful credit card programs. They have a huge number of miles out there in circulation. And it's particularly difficult. I think availability is particularly difficult because the demand has increased dramatically with all these miles out there. But the supply hasn't changed or even is reduced. It's very hard to find seats, but they get grabbed when they are available. And so if you, in the survey looked over a long time period, 100 different dates for travel, and still with hundreds of searches for each airline, found very low availability for the U.S. carriers.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, middle seat columnist at the Wall Street Journal. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
On this Friday, January 24th, Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. In the impeachment trial, Democrats focus on abuse of power. Serena Williams crashes out of the Australian Open. Caroline Wozniacki's career comes to an end. And teenage sensation Coco Gauff ousts Naomi Osaka. For the third weekend in a row, a winter storm will blast the eastern U.S. Jim Lehrer of PBS's NewsHour dies at the age of 85. And why milk has become a big talking point in the impeachment trial. That story in about 20 minutes. It's bad enough that we have to run around gathering piles of paperwork to fill out our tax returns. Now adding to that stress, we have to watch out for tax season scam artists. Susan Tompor of the Detroit Free Press has more on fake letters from the IRS and other tax scams and joins us now. Susan, why are experts so worried about this year about tax scams?
It's just part of the tax season. It is getting a little bit more crackdown by the IRS and some of the regulators to try to crack down on some of this. So the scam artists are having to work a little bit harder. But apparently, you know, we're willing to give away all sorts of information, and we're still falling for some phishing scams. You know, some of the most dangerous in the phishing email world are this W-2 scam, where big companies, small companies may give away your important employment data information and disclose that on the whole workforce. So, you know, there's a lot of scams out there. The con artists are crafting e-file tax returns before you do because they know the IRS system is going to reject a tax return if the IRS already has received another return using the same Social Security number. So things do really pick up early in the season, and you are starting to hear more complaints about people getting these Social Security calls. In January, the Inspector General of Social Security even warned that the phone scammers are trying to take the next step to convince you to comply with their demands by sending you phony documents by email.
Susan, how prevalent were scams last year during the tax season?
Last year during the tax season, the IRS claims that they've been able to stop more scams than they have in the past, and they've been working on doing this. In 2018, these are the latest numbers that are out there. The IRS claims that they had 649,000 confirmed fraudulent returns that they stopped, and that those returns attempted to claim $3.1 billion in tax refunds. So this is a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar problem that the government faces. And what they're doing is they're creating tax returns with many of these credits to trigger maybe a more generous tax return refund than you would have had. So they might use an education credit. They might use the earned income tax credit. They're figuring out the best way. Obviously, they're filing a fake return, but they're figuring out the best way to do a fake return that will trigger the most money. The IRS claimed that it stopped 597,000 tax returns that claimed $6 billion in 2017. So they do have an initiative. They're working with state agencies. They're working with tax prep firms. They're all trying to spot some of these frauds early in the season. One of the experts that I talked to suggested that we're going to see more attacks on the tax preparer. The tax preparer might be held for ransom. They might, where time-sensitive files could be frozen, and the con artists demand that the tax preparer pay a ransom to the hackers. Unfortunately, sometimes that ransom is paid, the files are released, and then the hackers still use the data that has been stolen to file fake tax returns. It isn't too chipper, is it, out there?
We're speaking with Susan Topor of the Detroit Free Press. Susan, it's true, though, that the IRS rarely sends communications directly to people, and that's something you should really watch out for, something that looks fake.
Absolutely. They won't be sending you a tax transcript. They aren't sending you an automatic income tax reminder. These are some of the phrases that are used by the con artists. They aren't sending you an electronic tax return reminder. Once the refunds start being sent out, tax season opens up January 27th, and once the tax refunds start flowing, perhaps early February, mid-February, you might even get some emails from scammers that use the word tax refund in an email. So you don't want to do this, because even if you click on those links and you think, well, I'm just going to check this out, I know better, I know it's fake, but I'm going to click on the link and check it out. Well, the problem is, when you click on the link, it turns out to be a malicious file, and you've just, downloaded some virus or malware onto your computer, and you've got a lot of trouble there.
Thanks, Susan. Susan Topor of the Detroit Free Press. It's 20 minutes before the hour. Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, when you're the leader of a large country, especially one that enjoys their donuts and coffee, even your donut order is going to come under scrutiny, such as the plight of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose attempt to relate to the everyman backfired this week. Trudeau tweeted out a picture of him picking up several boxes of donuts from an outlet called O Donuts, which he said were for a full day of cabinet meetings in Winnipeg. Despite his best intentions, social media commentators largely attacked the photo, blasting the politician as elitist for not buying donuts at a more affordable local chain like Tim Hortons, and accusing him of making the extravagant purchase with taxpayers' money. According to the bakery's website, a dozen regular donuts retail for $35 Canadian, around $27 US, while a dozen of the specialty variety sell for $47 Canadian, equal to around $35 in the States. Relatively steep for a sugar rush, the Prime Minister was pictured with five standard-sized boxes and two smaller-sized boxes. Trudeau has since remained mum on the Donut-Gate saga, appearing to continue with business as usual.
Ooh, I want to know what a specialty donut is from this place that costs so much.
Well, they better be really good.
Gold flakes.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be some sort of diamonds or jewels encrusted on that donut. But,
this is all a little silly, but...
It's a little, yeah.
Makes me want to go to O Donuts. That's
yeah.
Good,
just,
good advertising
yeah,
for O
yeah,
Donuts.
Well, exactly. And I think they're kind of using it as that. And they're also saying this. They sort of, you know, he hasn't said anything about this, but they're sort of saying, like, look, he was trying to shop local, right? You mm-hmm. know, Tim Hortons is a, you know, is still a chain. You
right.
know, they are a Canadian chain, but
right.
they're still a chain nonetheless. And he was trying to shop local. And of course, they're trying to pay their people a living wage and all that kind of thing.
And he bought so many. Obviously,
right.
he's sharing them.
Right.
So that's good.
Right, right. That's yeah. what he was trying to do. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, like, for instance, you know, when our congressmen get together, they have these lunch meetings and things like that. They're not ordering McDonald's, right? You know,
right.
they're having right. nice lunches and nice catered meals. They're just not tweeting about them, so we all don't know about
exactly.
it, right? So
yep.
his problem probably was tweeting it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And staying with our neighbors to the north, Jen, if you plan on enjoying some wine this weekend, you might want to hold your bottle and glass a little tighter after hearing this. A Canadian man was fired from a local winery after an oversight led to thousands of gallons of wine pouring down the drain twice.
Uh-oh.
According to Fox News, the man lost his Mission Hill Winery job and his appeal after a careless error led to 1,500 gallons, or approximately 630 cases of Sauvignon Blanc, being washed down the drain. The retail price for the lost wine was estimated at over $162,000. The most recent incident occurred in 2018 when the worker forgot to close a valve, which led to wine flowing freely down the drain. That would have been bad enough, but the company already had their eye on the man for a similar incident a year earlier that led to the accidental flushing of nearly 3,000 gallons of wine down the drain.
The company has some responsibility here, do you
yeah.
think? It happened once. Do
maybe,
they not have safeguards in place so it doesn't happen again?
Maybe watch him a little more closely. It does seem awfully easy because I think he blamed it on basically them sort of overworking him and him being tired mm. and that kind of thing. So they don't have more safeguards. Nobody else is around
Nobody
to make sure.
Nobody spotted this? Yeah.
Yeah like
That's
they,
a lot of gallons
just,
down the drain.
We're just going to close up shop and go home while wine is just flowing out. Yeah.
yeah.
It seems like they need to. Yeah, I think
it's
you're right
more
about
than
that.
His fault.
Yes, I would have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's 13 minutes before the hour.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I'm a cut of butter.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Hottest in the game, ain't nothing to it, world class, I am.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
I'm on the top. I'm gonna rise up, I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Rise up to the front of the field, this is
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up, I'm on the top.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. Loneliness is on the rise, and millennials and members of Generation Z are lonelier than older generations. That news coming out of a questionnaire answered by more than 10,000 people. Cigna says 61% of the adults surveyed reported they feel lonely, which is a 7 percentage point increase compared with 2018. It found men are slightly lonelier than women, but the biggest difference may be between generations. Nearly 79% of Gen Z respondents and 71% of millennials reported feeling lonely compared to just half of baby boomers. One major factor could be social media. The survey found instead of bringing people together, social media platforms have a major impact on loneliness. And avid users were more likely to feel alone, isolated, left out, and without companionship. Loneliness is also impacting the workplace, especially among younger employees. For example, Gen Z respondents said they are twice as likely as boomers to feel abandoned by coworkers when they're under pressure. And the majority of Gen Z workers feel emotionally distant from colleagues. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Ross Akay is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, the death toll from the new coronavirus in China is now at least 26, including one man 600 miles from Wuhan, one of multiple cities on relative lockdown in hopes of containing the virus. Major Chinese cities have canceled large public gatherings for the Lunar New Year. Number two, at the impeachment trial, Democrats pressed their case for a second day before skeptical Republican senators displaying video images of the nation's top FBI and Homeland Security officials dismissing the theory that it was Ukraine, not Russia, that interfered in the 2016 election.
According to the 17 witnesses in the House impeachment inquiry, President Trump insisted on holding the aid and provided no reason, despite unanimous support, for lifting the hold throughout his administration, including his handpicked top advisors.
That was Representative Zoe Lofgren. The president's defense team may get its chance to present its case tomorrow.
They've talked about the same stuff every day. You realize that's all they did with the, they've done it now for three days in a row.
That's Florida Senator Rick Scott. Number three, Sopranos actress Annabella Sciorra was the first of six accusers to testify against Harvey Weinstein in his New York sexual assault trial. Tears streaming down her face, Sciorra described how the media mogul forced his way into her Manhattan apartment and raped her in 1993. She is not a plaintiff, but the judge has allowed her testimony to establish a pattern of behavior. A New Mexico State University student's facing up to 3 years in prison for shooting a classmate in an alleged hazing incident that resulted in his fraternity suspension. Miguel Altamirano allegedly shot Jonathan Sillis in the leg as he pledged the Kappa Sigma fraternity in November, but his lawyer says it was an accident as the students were joking around. The U.S. has refused an extradition request from Britain for an American woman involved in a road accident that killed a U.K. teen last summer. Ansa Koulis is married to an intelligence officer and is claiming diplomatic immunity. And longtime PBS anchorman and news analyst Jim Lehrer has died. Lehrer was a co-founder in 1975 of the McNeil-Lehrer Report. He moderated a dozen presidential debates, was the author of numerous novels, four plays, and three memoirs. Lehrer was 85 years old.
A true giant in our field, Rasa.
And a good writer.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Forget the coffee and caffeine. Senators sitting through marathon arguments during the impeachment trial are allowed just two types of beverages on the Senate floor, according to the chamber's rules, water and milk. And in the absence of soda and coffee, senators are taking advantage of the beverages available. Tom Cotton and Richard Burr have been spotted with tall glasses of milk on their desks, along with a glass of water provided to every senator. Cotton tweeted, "It's true. I had some milk with my chocolate. I guess I could have added vodka and had a white Russian minus the Kahlua." When senators run out of milk, pages quickly come to lawmakers' desks with new glasses filled to the brim. Senator Patrick Leahy says he loves the feel of no caffeine, but Senator Chris Murphy admitted he had a secret stash of caffeine with a Diet Mountain Dew waiting in the backroom fridge. The milk rule can be traced to a 1966 request by Senator Everett Dirksen, who had asked a page to get him a glass of milk while he was on the Senate floor. The senator, who said water he was drinking had become pretty thin, asked if it was a violation to have someone get him the milk. The presiding officer said there's nothing wrong in the rules to prohibit a request for a glass of milk. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.